There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Live local talk over the hour. And our guest in studio, Bill Hightower. I do want to do one thing before we get into our discussion, although Bill Hightower is welcome to get in on it. It is a Thursday, and this is the end of week three of our FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest. And another winner, Randall Dewitt. Congratulations. And Randall's picture doesn't have Randall in it. It has two boys in it. We've now learned the names of Mason and Bryson. Well done, young man. Nice snapper there in that picture. Got the most number of likes and wins this week's prize. And I guess this means, Leanna, what do you think? I mean, does this mean we have, I guess we'll do two shirts. So usually the prize is each week one of those FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team dry fit shirts. But there's these two young men there. So y'all are crushing my budget here, people, on this. But I guess I'll work it through. So there you go. Congratulations, Randall. And the boys there in that picture, this week's winner in the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. They win those FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirts. And now we start a fresh week. Remember how this works. You post your picture up on our Facebook page. You'll see the pinned link. It'll be the top thing on our Facebook page. It'll say Fishing Photo Contest. You go on there, you post up your picture. It could be you, the kids without you. Could be from 20 years ago, could be from 20 minutes ago, whatever it is. You put your fishing photo up and then you get folks to like it. You campaign to get people's votes on your picture. And as you get more likes, the person with the most likes, they win. Now, instead of doing this in a cycle of 2 or 4 or 6 years, we do this cycle every week here at FM Talk. So go check us out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. You heard the transition and pivot I was doing there because I was talking about voting and reminding y'all that we're all voting this coming Tuesday. I know it's odd, but it's here. And in studio, your chance to hear from one of the names you'll see on the ballot here in AL1, and that is Bill Hightower in studio. Thanks for being here.
Hey, great being with you, Sean.
And it's, yeah, it's cliched beyond cliched to say there's very few grains in the hourglass left here.
I know, but before we go into that, yeah. Is that the Randall Dewitt who is our commissioner-elect?
Well, he is, yes, that is the Randall Dewitt that is...
awesome.
Yes, the elect portion we still have to get through November.
I know. But yes, that's why I said elect. Well, hey, yes. It's good to be with you today, and welcome. Hello, everybody.
And it's, yeah, and welcome back, and a lot to get into on the show. I do want to talk about, I think tomorrow's the last day for the ninth. Tomorrow is the ninth of today. I'm losing track of time. Today's the ninth, the last day to get those absentees in. Have you heard from your supporters that they're voting absentee and never have before? I mean, I've heard this discussion. People are saying, I've never done this before, but I'm doing it now.
Well, I've done my own personal poll asking people to say, hey, let me just ask you something. Are you going to do absentee or are you going to go to vote? Most of the people in District 1 are saying, I am going to vote.
Good.
I love my right to vote. I fought for that right, mm-hmm. and they're going to go to the precinct and vote no matter what.
Right.
But that's just the kind of people we are down here. We want to hang on to these rights, these sacred rights that were given to us to go vote.
Well, that's for sure. And you know, and absentee voting, you still do it, and the Secretary of State opened things up to what is acceptable as a reason to be absentee. So if somebody did have a worry about health issues, they could absentee vote. Yeah, that's one of the questions we're looking at is turnout. You know, folks on my side of the seat, this is the kind of stuff we look at. You know, we're analyzing, you know, campaigns and analyzing races, and we always talk about turnout. I know y'all look at it through a completely different metric, but we're going, hey, what's it going to be statewide? What's it going to be in AL1, right up the road in AL2? I think it's unfair to say AL1 and AL2 will outpace the rest of the state in volume at the polls.
Yeah, well, and then we have, of course, a senatorial race where a local person, Jeff Sessions, in it, and that's going to bring some turnout as too. But here's the thing that I think we've thought about as we've analyzed congressional races in the primary and the runoff. The runoff is actually the more intense part, and there's actually more people that go vote in the runoff. But here's the thing about it. They didn't have COVID.
Yes.
And that's really changed everything. So that's the unknown factor. But I go back to what I said to a lot of the people, the seniors in the community and otherwise, they say, I am going to vote in person. They just have more confidence in their vote in that regard.
And that's, hey, what it takes for you to have confidence in your vote is what you should do. We want people to get out and vote. All right, let's do this because a lot to talk about over the hour. And y'all, you got questions specifically for Bill Hightower. You know, instead a lot of people will say, well, what do you think so-and-so thinks on this? That's why I get the candidates in here, and you have a chance to ask those questions on the text line at 343-0106. So I want to run through a handful of let's say fiscal questions. I know you're gonna every time you're on with me, it's always fiscal this, fiscal that. You know,
well, you're a fiscal hawk. Yes, yourself.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm the one trick pony. But I want to talk about some of these things. Number one question here, as we talk about budget deficit. As you know, I mean, we're going down my normal hit list here. Budget deficits, and you think about, let's look at 2019. Budget deficit in 2019 was, what, $9 trillion here? And in 2010, it was, I'm sorry, the total debt was nine-something trillion. In 2010, we put on another $210 billion, more than the year before. This year, before the Wuhan virus hit, the deficit was already $625 billion. National debt, $26.3 trillion and growing. National debt, $5.6 trillion in 2000. And here we find ourselves, you know, at this number in 2020. All right. So with that being said, and having to work our way out of whatever we've had to spend so far to keep the economy upright, I ask you this stuff every time, but what the heck? You're elected and you go to Washington and you're there and you've been somebody over time said no to taxes. State level, you said no to taxes. How do you do that? How do we pay this off without raising taxes?
Yeah, well, the deficit's a real problem, and I don't think it's getting enough airtime, so I appreciate you bringing it up. It could bring us to our knees. You know, of the 22 civilizations in the history of the world, not one of them was defeated by an outside enemy. They always crumbled from within. And the deficit is one of the issues that we face. But the answer isn't tax increases. You're right. I fought tax increases. And we have to learn how to do things differently. We have to rein in some of the programs that are costing us too much. The best thing we can have is a growing economy. And that's been stilted by the COVID crisis. Mm-hmm. We had a growing economy beforehand. That's why I want to bring jobs to this district. But, you know, about the tax increases, you're right. I stood against every one of them in Montgomery. My opponent, Mr. Carl, he voted for every tax increase that came in front of the commission. I can't find one. Maybe there is one, but he consistently voted for tax increases. There's a video out even saying he's proud about voting for tax increase. And when he gets supporting a tax increase. And when he gets to Washington, D.C., he has vowed also to support a tax increase. That's not the time to talk we need, Sean.
Okay, so is there ever a time then you can vote for, that it would be okay to vote for a tax increase?
Okay, so follow this. If we do a tax increase and the government gets more money, do you think they're going to lessen their spending? You see, the emphasis always has to be on spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds unreasonable, but if you don't contain it, it's like a child of yours that has a bad spending habit. You don't keep giving them money.
Right.
You've got to rein them in. That's why I signed the no tax pledge, so that when I go to D.C., I'm not going to handle it that way. Is it tough? Yes. But I balanced every budget in Montgomery, and I intend to to work toward that in D.C. as well.
You know, the thing I've noticed over time in Washington, over decades, and this has happened with different groups, different people, not even, you know, picking on one particular group of politicians, but the debate I always thought would be the compromise, right? We have a system of compromise in this country, and you would think that you come to budgeting and say, the left wants to spend all this money on this over here, and the right wants to spend some money on this over here. Or instead of the conversation ever being, well, that stinks because y'all aren't going to get that thing because we're not going to get this thing, right? It never does that. It means, okay, that social program, because we want to spend money on this and the military or whatever, then we're going to say okay and green light that over there. It's never – the negotiation always equals more spending on both sides, and that's Republicans too.
I've been ashamed at the Republicans in their spending habits. I tell you, we need to send fiscal conservatives up to Washington, D.C. that'll hold the ground. It's not business as usual. Things are polarized, and because of that, we're not going to be able to meet in between like we used to.
Do you think that's a loss for the Republic?
I do. Somebody told me one time, you know, the New Deal got in place because they agreed.
Yep.
And that was the biggest step of government expansion that we've ever had in the history of the United States. So maybe getting together is not such a great idea on a lot of things.
Sure. Sure, you do that, but you could also say that maybe there are some things where we could come together. Look at some of the police reform ideas. You know, there are things that Republicans in Washington and Democrats agree on. Some basic things I think a lot of Americans agree on. The idea that if you have somebody in law enforcement that does bad at this department, it should be on record where if they travel across state lines, somebody else can see that when they decide to hire. But that can't get – even though that has agreement, that can't get passed because all the other things that separate.
Well – I want to support our law enforcement. That's priority number one. But right. We also have a 10th Amendment that said states' rights stand. Mm-hmm. States need to manage their police force. So
yeah,
nothing
I'm
should
about
be done at the
it.
Federal. No, I know you're not. But if we share information, it's like Common Core. You know, this whole education, they wanted to take the data of our children and send that to Washington, D.C. under the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. That bothered me. I fought it in Montgomery because of that. Now, my opponent, Mr. Carl, he's been endorsed by the group that brought Common Core to Alabama. So my question is, did he agree to support Common Core in order to get their endorsement?
And
this data sharing is a real problem with me about we need to maintain our states' rights.
And I get that. At the same time, if we take any money from the federal government, which we do in the state of Alabama in a big way,
from
your time in the legislature. So with that, here come the strings. Here come the strings in that. And I mean, I'm looking at it now while we talk about the situation from Common Core back then. As of right now, we have President Trump telling school districts, states' rights, right, that are not going to, that don't want to open their schools in August. He's saying if you don't open at this early date, I think it's August, whatever, or by a scheduled time, we're going to withhold federal funding for those schools. So it's, you know, it's the poison fruit, right? Once you bite it from Washington, quite often you have to follow their rules.
It's really true. There are strings attached. I mean, when my dad used to give me allowance, he expected me to mow the grass and take the garbage out.
Right. And if you didn't mow the grass and take the garbage out, what happened?
No cash.
Yeah. So coming right back, more with Bill Hightower. Grab your questions, too, from the text line at 343-0106. You know, if people are now asking, what if 16 people were in the picture? How many shirts am I going to give out? You know, y'all got to stop. I did something nice for... Children, y'all settle down. It's one shirt, not 16, my goodness.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile online at fmtalk1065.com. Our guest in studio, Bill Hightower. What a kind of transition to this. We're talking money as we and spending and taxes. We went into the break. Had this question. This person made sure to ask this question on multiple platforms. I like it. I like it, so I know to ask it. Would you, if elected, be open to being a member of the Freedom Caucus?
So I assume everybody knows what the Freedom Caucus
is. Let's tell everybody the Freedom Caucus.
Freedom Caucus is a very conservative group in the House of Representatives, and they sign a pledge. I kind of lose it at that point, but you have to sign a pledge that right. you'll do certain things. So my position on the Freedom Caucus is that I'm not joining anything until I get to Washington, D.C.
Well,
you know,
well,
I mean,
well played.
I just don't want to limit my ability to serve this district in the right way. I'll get there and I'll evaluate all those things. But I am a conservative. We talked about it before. I've been ranked among the top three conservative state senators in the Alabama State Senate. Fought against tax increases. Pro-life.
This person, okay, because they're asking this question, I guess, hinging off of that. What about the support you get from Club for Growth? Have you signed on with them?
Well, I've signed no contract, no agreement at all. I just haven't. They didn't require that at all. And the truth is, though, my opponent went to Club for Growth and really needed their endorsement. He traveled 1,200 miles to get there. Jerry Carl did. He really needed them because they're a conservative group. And he doesn't have a lot of conservative groups or any. And the truth is, too, he supported Trump's opponent with thousands of dollars. If Jerry Carl had his
meaning whom? With thousands of, like, who did he support specifically?
He supported Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. Yeah. Okay. So
if Jerry Carl had his way, President Trump wouldn't be our president. But you see, this is the thing, though. He's attacked me for not supporting President Trump. He's even called me a never-Trumper. He photoshopped a button on my lapel.
Yeah, you
it's know, incredible. And I was campaigning for President Trump.
It's amazing to me. I said it this morning. I'm going to say it in front of you. I've said it in front of everybody who is, except for one of the people that will be on the ballot on the Republican side on Tuesday. It's amazing to me, if you watch the ads and listen to the ads, that not a one of you supports President Trump. When I know that every person would support and vote with President Trump, whether it's idealistically or pragmatically. I don't believe there's a one of y'all that's going to be on the Republican runoff ballot coming up on Tuesday that wouldn't vote with the president.
Well, here's the difference. There's a video of me campaigning for President Trump in front of his bus.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a never-Trumper to me.
Right.
And yet, Mr. Carl supported Mr. Trump's opponent. Here's the bigger issue. Mr. Carl is being in, he wanted to have their endorsement, but they didn't give it to him. You know why they didn't give it to you? Because he's a tax raiser. They saw all the taxes he raised as a county commissioner. That's not conservative. They're not going to do that. So they canceled him, and they supported me because I fought for the flat tax. I fought against every tax. Now, let's look at Mr. Carl's endorsements.
Yeah, talk about these specific tax raisings. Yeah.
The people that endorsed Jerry Carl, one of the groups, wants to bring the Equality Act, wants to have a vote on it. That would devastate our religious liberties. There's not one.
Which group is that?
That is the D.C. Chamber of Commerce. They want him to pass the Equality. They want the Equality Act passed.
Okay.
Do you know the Equality Act?
I am familiar, yes.
Hundreds of bishops, hundreds of pastors throughout the United States want this act stopped because it would undermine our religious liberties and our ability to help the poor. It'd be most devastating. So my question is, Mr. Carl, when you met with them, did you agree to vote for that act? That would be very dangerous, and it'd surprise me because we down here in Mobile, Baldwin County, Washington, Monroe County, Clark, Escambia, we know that religious liberties are so important that we want to maintain our religious liberties. This act and the group that is endorsing Mr. Carl want this act passed.
All right. From the text line here, we'll get to the phones as well. This from Matt. Senator Hightower, when you maintain the stance of no new taxes, when you maintain the stance of no new taxes might appeal to senior citizen constituents, but it's not going to float the younger generation that realize it's going to take an all-hands approach to combat the debt. I believe certain taxes can benefit the American electorate along with a compromise in expenditure cuts. A gas tax for the state, extra penny for the city of Mobile have shown strong benefits when used wisely. That's from Matt in Mobile.
Well, Mr. Carl has supported taxes. Maybe that's his candidate of choice. I've fought taxes. And, you know, as I think I mentioned, that Mr. Carl has a video out or there's somewhere online saying he's proud about raising taxes and he's vowed to do it in D.C. I've made a no tax pledge. That's where I stand. I think people are very clear on my position in this.
All right. This is a short one because we're up against the news break and then we'll come back. But Dale says, or asks here, how many terms is too many for a congressman / citizen soldier?
I'm glad he brought it up. Good question. So here's the thing. Commissioner Carl has not signed the term limits pledge. He refuses to do that. I've signed the term limits pledge. So that if we have a term limits bill, I'm going to support it. I also supported term limits in Montgomery in the Alabama State Senate. Nobody has ever brought a term limits bill to the vote. I did. It failed. I was disappointed. But that's how strongly I feel about it. 80% of Republicans want term limits. I want term limits.
But this is, if a bill comes up, you will vote on it. You're not saying that you're limiting yourself.
That's right. Without everybody else doing the same, I'd be a disadvantage. And you and I have talked about that.
Okay, so it's support of the bill. Support of the term limits bill. If it comes up, you're signing it. You're on. You're voting for it.
Not only that, but I'm going to submit a term limits bill. I'm going to promote the term limits bill, and I'll vote for it.
All right, be right back.